hare hare Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya
Bhaktivedanta Swami Chandra Prabhupada Ki Jai, Namachara Hare Das Thakur Ki Jai, Friends of the Host, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Sri Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai, Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Govinda Swami Kunda Radha Kudda Kiti Govardhan Ki Jai, Vrindavandam Ki Jai, Namanandam Ki Jai, Gang Shimona Tulsi Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Ananda Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai, Samaveta Bhakta Vinigi Jai Go Premanandi. All glories to some of the devotees, all glories to some of the devotees, all glories to some of the devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Guranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvata Deve Gauravani Pracharane Vishesha Shunyavani Paschatadesha Charane Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasri Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 10 Chapter 81 Verse 40 Evam Save Pro Bhagavat Sutrit Tada Drishvasa Brityar Ajitam Parajitam Tadjana Veg Od Gratitatma Abundanas Tadamale Bechirata Satam Gatim Evam thus sa hi vipra brahmana bhagavat of the Supreme Lord Sukrit the friend tada then drishtva seeing swa his own mrityai by the servants ajitam unconquerable parajitam conquered tat upon him dhyana of his meditation vega by the momentum udgratita untied atma of the self bandhana his bondage tat his dhamma abode lebe he attained acharata in a short time sata of great saints gatim the destination. Translation: thus seeing how the unconquerable Supreme Lord is nonetheless conquered by his own servants. The Lord's dear Brahmana friend felt the remaining knots of material attachment within his heart being cut by the force of his constant meditation on the Lord. In a short time he attained Lord Krishna's supreme abode, the destination of great saints. Purport: Sudama's earthly fortune has been described, and now Sukadeva Goswami describes the treasure the Brahmana enjoyed in the next world. Srila Chijiva Goswami mentions that Sudama's last trace of illusion lay in the subtle pride of being a renounced Brahmana. This trace was also destroyed by his contemplating the Supreme Lord's submission to his devotees. Translation: thus seeing how the unconquerable Supreme Lord is nonetheless conquered by his own servants, the Lord's dear Brahmana friend felt the remaining knots of material attachment within his heart being cut by the force of his constant meditation on the Lord. In a short time he attained Lord Krishna's supreme abode, the destination of great saints. So this is the conclusion of the story of the Brahmana, Sudama. And here we find that the meditation of Sudama was to see how the Lord, though he is unconquerable, becomes conquered by his devotees. He is called Ajita because he's not conquered. But at the same time, he's Parajita. He is conquered by Svabhritya, by his servants. So in this way, the Sudama understood the very loving nature of the Supreme Lord. And how he is attracted to the devotion of the servant. And meditating on that, then it says he was freed of all knots or whatever of material existence, and he attained the supreme abode. This, of course, is taking the view of Sudama being an ordinary living entity in the bondage of the material world. So from that point of view, it appears like he did sadhana and eventually became purified, and then he went to the spiritual world. At the same time, because he is a close associate of the Lord, then we can't think of him as such an ordinary conditioned soul. Obviously, he's superior to the normal jivas who practice bhakti. It doesn't mention whether he was nityasiddha at that time or whatever. But we can assume that he's playing this role of being a Brahmana and then dedicating himself more and more to the Supreme Lord. Of course, originally he was very devoted to the Lord, and therefore, even in his childhood, he got the intimate association of Krishna, personal association of Krishna.
So when they were in the Gurukul, so therefore he was very, very highly qualified, just as the people of Raja or the Rishnis are highly qualified because they get to associate closely with the Lord. So in this case, also from the very beginning of the pastimes, he was highly qualified. So therefore, we shouldn't think of him as some way being materially contaminated like ordinary living entities. Yet, for pastimes, sometimes we see that the devotees of the Lord also seem to show material attachments or whatnot, and then finally they become purified of those attachments. In some cases, those who are almost on the highest level associate with the Supreme Lord. They're not Nitya Siddhas, but they're Sadhana Siddhas. And they are able to... They're able to associate with the Lord even though they're, I guess, they're not on the highest level. And an example is given of some of the gopis who were in Krishna's pastimes, and then they couldn't associate with Krishna in the Rasa Leela, and they were locked in their houses. So our acharyas say that these gopis had almost got perfection, but not quite, and therefore they couldn't associate with the Lord. But by that separation, they finally attained their identity, their real spiritual body, and then they could associate with the Supreme Lord. But even that is a very high level, and we should not think that they were at that stage when they were in Vrindavan, that they were contaminated like ordinary persons in the material world. So like I said, very, very subtle obstacles were there, but nothing very gross. So, or only that the, you can say, the bhava had not developed to its full extent, so therefore they weren't so qualified, and then later on by separation they became fully qualified. In other words, persons who are coming out of the material world eventually get a chance to associate with the Supreme Lord. And then they get perfection by that association. We could look at it as being in bhava and then, or later stages of bhava and then getting to prema or something like that. So that is the case of sadhana siddhas. For nitya siddhas, that is not so. Yet we see that even the gopis, for instance, they didn't manifest Madhurya Rasa until they reached a certain age. So at a certain time, the rasa became manifested very prominently. That is when they all reached Kaishor age. And in other cases, we see devotees who may look like they have imperfections, like Akrura or somebody like that, commits offense, and then he has to suffer or whatever like that. But we should never criticize those devotees also for their faults, because they're only part of the Lord's pastimes. And even Lord Brahma, he commits an offense against Krishna by stealing the calves and cowherd boys and trying to fool Krishna. So again, that is not considered to be a real offense. Therefore, those who associate with the Lord are on a very high level, and therefore we can't blame them for anything that happens in terms of the pastimes. So, in this case, Vishnu Chakravarti remarks that here Buddha has referred to knots of material attachment. The knots of material attachment were his identity as an austere brahmana. That was his little bit of identity. And that was completely eradicated by his meditation on the great compassion of the Supreme Lord. So in this way, then it says he went to the spiritual world eventually. However, as we know, that going to the spiritual world also is rather redundant in this case, because when Krishna comes to the material world, it also is the spiritual world. So Sudama participating in these pastimes with the Lord is actually like the spiritual world itself. And we shouldn't think there's anything higher than Krishna's association with Sudama, even though it looked like there was some imperfection in Sudama. Sometimes there is appearances that may look like material, but we should not consider it as such in relation to the Lord's pastimes. This story, of course, is quite famous because it shows the Lord's great attraction to his devotees. In this case, there's also a secondary element here because Sudama was a Brahmana and Krishna was, of course, a Kshatriya. So Krishna was in a lower position according to Varna, yet he is the Supreme Lord. But on two counts, he becomes submissive. One, because, of course, he is attracted to the devotion. The other is because in the Varnashram system, the Brahmana is higher, and the Kshatriyas are obedient to the Brahmanas. And therefore, Krishna is always willing to give respect to the Brahmanas. And we see that as the case in many instances in the pastimes where Krishna gives great respect to the Brahmanas. And even in the story of Jaya and Vijaya, we find Vishnu in spiritual world praising the Brahmanas, that is the Kumaras. And that one should never interfere with them or offend them in any way. So, this is, we can say, part of the Varnashram system. And Krishna plays his role of respecting the Brahmanas because he plays the role of Kshatriya. And in this way, he sets a good example for the whole of society, where the Brahmana is considered to be the head and everyone gives respect to the Brahmana. On the other hand, the affection of the Lord for his devotee is a greater reason for Krishna's respect for Sudama. The one respect we can say is conventional, or we can say according to material considerations of Varna. And that's respecting Sudama as a Brahmana. His attraction to Sudama is more prominently because he is a great devotee, and therefore Krishna is willing to do anything for him. He's dedicated to him like a servant, I could say. So that is because the bhakti controls Krishna. Krishna is attracted to devotion. And particularly if that devotee is in prema, then Krishna becomes controlled by that devotee. So in nectar devotion, that is called the sixth quality of bhakti, Krishna Karshani, that bhakti attracts Krishna. So this is, of course, the highest level where Krishna serves the devotee. And we see this as an example. Krishna with Arjuna is another example. Krishna with the gopis, he says, I am your debtor, I can never repay you. So we have many examples of this in Krishna's pastimes. Or with the Supreme Lord and Ambarish. So there, Vishnu explains that actually I'm under the control of my devotee. And if you want to get free of the demon, then you have to offer respects to Ambarish, who's my devotee, because he's in control of the Sudarshan Chakra and everything. So, in this way, the devotees are very attractive to the Lord. That, of course, is on prema. But even if they're not on prema, the Lord is very attractive to the devotees. We cannot say he comes under control of the devotee, but he is very, very attracted to them. He is more attracted to those devotees than he's attracted to the people who do karma yoga or gyan yoga or astanga yoga. So bhakti of any sort is better. And even if that bhakti is mixed, still it is better. Yeah? So therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna describes how I consider four types of people to be my devotees, and some of those are mixed. Still, he considers my devotees. So he's attracted to those devotees. And for that reason, we have Vishnu rescuing Gajendra, even though he had mixed devotion. Still, the Lord is attracted to him even in that case. So we should not think only pure devotion and only prema, but in all types of bhakti, the Lord has a great attraction, more than he has for people doing other processes. Of course, the Lord is more attracted to people who are following authorized Vedic processes like karma, jnana, and yoga than he is for other people who are not doing anything in the material world. But he's much more attracted to the devotees. And if they practice pure bhakti, feel more attracted. And if they've got prema, then he's controlled by them at that stage. And even in being controlled, if Vishnu forms get controlled, like Ambarish controls Vishnu, but if one worships Krishna, then even more control. And ultimately, the greatest controllers of Krishna are the people of Vrindavan. So therefore, the Yadus in Dwarka, they say that actually we are not so dear to Krishna, even though Krishna is with us at all times. He's actually not with us, because he's always thinking of the people of Vrindavan. In other words, they are the highest devotees of all, and Krishna is completely controlled by them. And ultimately, within Vrindavan, we get the gopis at the top. So in this way, Krishna is controlled by his devotees, but he's controlled to different extents. Sadhana, and then bhava, and then prema, and then mixed bhakti and pure bhakti, and then ultimately in Vrindavan, and then in Vrindavan ultimately by the gopis and Radharani. So in any case, Krishna is attracted to devotion. And the more intense it is, then the more he comes under control of the devotee. So within prema itself, there's different degrees of intensity. And therefore, Madhurya Rasa has got the highest intensity. Therefore, Krishna's under the control of the gopis more than anybody else. But in any case, bhakti in any form is very, very attractive to the Supreme Lord. And therefore, it is a recommended process. And even if one cannot follow any other process, still, if one could do bhakti, then one is successful, because it attracts Krishna. And Krishna becomes very merciful to that person. And this way, he can become successful. So here it says, in a short time, Achirata, very, very quickly, he attained the supreme abode of the Lord. So in terms of an ordinary devotee in this material world, the process of bhakti is the quickest process. Because one has the personal intervention of the Supreme Lord, the personal help of the Supreme Lord in advancing and developing and controlling the senses and developing more and more attraction. The Lord is personally involved in helping the devotees. So in the first canto of Bhagavatam there, it says that the Lord of the heart destroys all anartas. That is Krishna within. He destroys all the anartas for the devotee so he can come to nishta and then advance further and further and further. Of course, in the commentary it says Krishna there means in the heart means by hearing properly. We hear about Krishna, so that's Krishna in the heart of that point. But eventually, yes, Krishna makes his presence felt within the devotee. And he advances very quickly. So above all, the process of bhakti is the strongest thing to attract Krishna. So Krishna is attracted to various devotees, and it doesn't really matter who the devotee is. So in this case, it is a brahmana. That's a material consideration. In other cases, we have the people of Vrindavan, they are only Vaishyas. But it doesn't matter if they're higher devotees even. So the spiritual attraction of Krishna is not dependent upon the varna, external varna considerations. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Lord Chaitanya, he rejects all these external types of considerations of varna and ashram as not being so important as the relationship of Krishna with devotion. That's much more important. So therefore, Krishna is attracted not because he is a brahmana, but because he's a great devotee of the Supreme Lord. But to set a good example, then of course Krishna gives proper respect according to varna also, and he serves the brahmanas by giving proper respect and position, etc.
Translation of the verse 37. To a devotee who lacks spiritual insight, the Supreme Lord will not grant the wonderful opulence of the world, kingly power, and mental assets. Indeed, in his infinite wisdom, the unborn Lord very well knows how the intoxication of pride can cause the downfall of the wealthy. The question may arise here. There are many kalpis and non-devotees intimated to the Lord. They are not getting any opulences, money, power. This is contrary to the transcription. Is there only the devotee will be given?
We can take this in another way. Of course, the people that don't worship the Lord, they don't worship anything. Some people are very wealthy. They're materialists and atheists and whatever. That, of course, is very temporary. And we can say within their lifetime, they also get it all taken away, or at the end of their life, it just disappears or whatever like that. Then we have those who are following some sort of Vedic system. They worship devatas, etc., and they get some powerful position, etc. Of course, even there, when they worship devatas, they also have to worship the Supreme Lord. Then they can get the system of karma yoga, sakama karma yoga works if they don't disrespect Vishnu. But mainly they may be worshiping other devatas, etc. So, in this way, they can get certain opulences. That again is temporary. They can go to Svargaloka, then they fall down afterwards. In Bhagavad Gita, at the end there, Krishna, there's a promise that where there's Krishna Arjuna, then there is Sri, Bhuti, Niti, etc. So you get all wealth and power and influence, etc., along with devotion to the Lord. So maybe material, but ultimately speaking about the spiritual opulence, which is eternal, which is more valuable for the devotee. In many cases, the Lord gives that. So he gave to the Pandavas kingdom. He gave to Dhruva kingdom, whatever. But we'll say, well, it also disappeared. They had to renounce their kingdom and go out to the Himalayas, or Dhruva had to leave and go to Dhruva Loka, whatever. But no. Even if it's an apparent, loss of wealth, but they don't die actually. So therefore the wealth is also not gone. So once they disappear from this body, they continue their pastimes with the Lord, and they have the same wealth, but it's in the spiritual world. So therefore the wealth that is attained by the devotee is eternal. The wealth that is attained by materialists is temporary, and very temporary if they're, gross materialists and they don't accept the Lord at all. So therefore the real opulence is material, spiritual wealth. But according to the relationship with the Lord, that manifests differently. So in Krishna, it manifests in Dwarka and Mathura. We don't see it in Vrindavan, where there's more cowherd pastimes. Of course, if you look in some of the scriptures, we see there the palaces are made of emeralds and rubies and diamonds also. But we find much more grand display of wealth and power in Dwarka. And then again, if you worship Vishnu or Ramchandra, we'll see that the wealth and splendor there in relation to Ramchandra is much, much more again. So according to the form of the Lord also, that will manifest differently. Ultimately, the devotee is not really concerned about that. That is only an assistant. That wealth is only an assistant to his service to the Lord, how he can serve the Lord. So in Vaikuntha, everybody has four arms and they look like Vishnu and everything like that. And with that type of form and with their particular opulences, they serve the Lord. But they don't do like that in Vrindavan at all. They look like ordinary cowherd people running around serving Krishna by giving him sweets or whatever like that. So according to the form of the Lord, that opulence may manifest differently in the spiritual world as well. Ultimately, the real wealth is prema.
Question comes like, even before meeting the Lord, Sutama was having intense devotion. The Lord could have given him all the opulences.
It's just like separation and meeting. Why do we have separation at all? To make the intensity of the meeting much more filled with bliss. So here we have a pastime where Sudama is separated from Krishna for many years, and then finally he meets him. And that meeting is very joyful for him, and he's so joyful that he doesn't want to ask for anything even. And he doesn't ask for anything. And he realizes that simply meeting the Lord is the treasure of his life. So this whole episode of being in poverty and whatever and separated from the Lord is simply an arrangement of the Lord for pastimes ultimately, so to increase the joy of meeting and to illustrate certain things for the other devotees.
So you mentioned that with regard to Brahma Vimohanila, should not be considered Brahma doing an offense, just as a part of pastime.
Mm-hmm.
You also hear that he comes as Haridas Thakur to overcome that offense.
Mm-hmm. Well, from the point of view of the devotee, he will always feel that he is aparadi, like Indra also, whatever like that. And even maybe Sudama will feel he's an aparadi if he offers some chip rice, which is so low to the Lord, whatever. So the devotees always, if they're in awe and reverence especially, then they will feel that, you know, they somehow offend the Lord by their actions, etc. So that's on the part of the devotee, that is, we can say they're, when they have this idea of the Lord is full of Aishwarya, etc., then that becomes quite prominent. They think of any little thing they think is a mistake and they think they've offended the Lord. So on the part of the devotee, that's not a fault. But from the Lord's point of view, or from our point of view also, we shouldn't blame Brahma, because actually it was an arrangement of the Supreme Lord. So.
Nimai takes away the offering before then as a child. And
there
the Lord says,
Nimai
says that you are being my devotee eternally.
Does it refer to Sudama
by any chance? Anywhere in scripture?
Doesn't really. I don't think so.
He says that you are being my devotee.
So you're assuming that's Sudama you're saying?
I'm asking.
Oh, I don't know. I never heard that.
Between the Lord's says on this that the glorification of the Brahmana, which is we can say
glorification of the Brahmana, which is, we can say, conventional, of course, also. But then we see that Krishna also does so. In his pastimes, he glorifies the Brahmana. Bhagavatam also glorifies the Brahmana. So yeah, according to conventions and Varnashram system, there's glorification. And Krishna also does so from his position. Acting within pastimes, he's acting within Varnas also. Whether one is, you know, Brahman, Vaishya, Kshatriya, Sudra, Sannyasi, whatever, the important element is the devotion. Now, of course, in Krishna's pastimes, the Brahmanas, we'll assume, are all devotees also. If they have to, if they meet the Lord, they must be very devotional to begin with. So they are also devotees. Here in this commentary, it says, well, he was a Brahman, respectable, but that identity as a Brahmana created a little imperfection or something, you know? So, if we emphasize the brahminical aspect too much, the identity on a material level, that is an obstacle also. So the Lord, as I said, he is not so much interested in externals as in the devotion. So the person may be a Brahman, maybe Kshatriya, maybe a Vaishya, maybe a Sudra, maybe a Chandala, or whatever, but the devotion is more important for the Lord than the external factors. But from the other point of view, then the conventional point of view, then the Brahmana gets a special position. And the Lord teaches by that to preserve that system as a social system in general. Because we have to have a social system, so therefore that system is maintained.
There is one verse mentioned in the Chaitanya book, yes, Naham people Nasanarabhati, Navishna Sutra. That verse also explained that in that I'm not a Brahman.
Yeah, the devotee doesn't identify himself at all.
But here, according to Brahman, the Shloka, no Brahman divides Brahman. Means he is giving some respect to the Brahman here again. But this Brahman is external, it's not an internal.
As I said, we give respect to all living entities. And then among all living entities, that's also one of the angas of bhakti. We respect the, I think, number 10, something 9 or 10 of the angas. We give respect to the aspada tree and the cow or the animals and the tulsi and whatever, like this, different entities. But among those entities, then we have special ones. So among the trees, the tulsi plant is more. Among the animals, the cow is more. And among the human beings, the varnashrams and the brahmana is more. But then, among everybody, the Vaishnava is in a higher position. So that was indicated by Lord Chaitanya when he described the lower living entities, and then the animals, and the human beings, then the people in the Varnashram system, then the Brahmanas, and then superior to the Brahmanas. The Brahmanas actually practice and know the real golden life, and then higher than those Brahmanas are the Vaishnavas. So we have, you know, respect on all levels, but at the same time, that the highest respect is given to the Brahmana, or to the Vaishnava. By convention, then they say, okay, you have a choice, then better to take, if there is a choice, you take initiation from a Brahmana guru rather than others or whatever. So that's the conventional idea coming in. But then in other cases, we have Vaishya or Kshatriya Guru or whatever, and so therefore Narottam was Kshatriya Guru, and that created a controversy when he began initiating people, because if only the Brahmanas are better, so they should go to the Brahmanas. But then, ultimately, there's less emphasis put upon that consideration as a Vaishnava. So then, whether one is, Vaishya, Kshatriya, Brahmana, whatever, if he knows Krishna, he is Guru. That's a higher principle. Meditation on the Lord, yeah.
It's like, you went to some sadhana.
Yeah.
Like, can you say that it's almost like the gopis, those who cannot participate in Rasadeva and through meditation, they purify themselves.
Yeah.
This is almost like a sadhana.
Yeah.
But how we know the Sudama, without being eternal assisted Lord, how can he associate so closely?
Yeah, so that's why I'm saying that it could be interpreted as simply being an arrangement for pastimes, that's all. It actually is, eternally with the Lord, but he goes through this process as if he's a sadaka, just like Narada Muni. Yeah, he is a cow, he's a, small boy, childhood from a Sudrani, and then he gets and he goes through sadhana. Actually, he's a Shaktivaj avatar. he's also in the spiritual world, but then he goes through a whole process of sadhana.
Something can be debated, like even if Sudama would not have belonged to Brahmin Varna, but belong to the lower Varna, would the Lord still have worship his feet?
Yeah.
Or was worshiping because he's a Vaishnava and a good character of devotion?
As for convention within the Varnas, then he, in this case, because he's a Brahmana, he washes his feet and whatever. So if he were from lower Varnas, according to convention, he wouldn't do that, according to the custom or whatever. But nevertheless, his attraction to the devotee, according to Bhava, would be the same. Could not interfere. So on one level he's following social customs, but on another level the main element for Krishna is his attraction to the devotee. And so regardless of his varna, that would be there in any case, his service to the devotee. Just like Lord Chaitanya was with Ramananda Roy, who was lower caste, so technically he was a sannyasi and he was a brahmana, and Ramananda Roy was what, a kshatriya or vaishya mixture, something like that. But and for the brahmanas, it may have been shocking that he embraced him and this and that. He's so associated with him when he shouldn't do that, But Lord Chaitanya overlooked that in those cases, and it caused some controversy for some people who were very strict in Brahminical rules. Or when Lord Chaitanya ate in the house of the Subhuti Rai in Mathura, and he was outcast actually, because he had been sprinkled with water by the Muslims. He did such things because he was a great devotee, so he overlooked those caste rules at that time.
Another lesson we can learn, like somebody mentioned that Sudama felt that he's very innocent and not had just more than iota of that pride, and sometimes devotees are very humble and very fallen. That
itself
is a cause of
fun,
or?
Well, it depends. It could be a material identity, or it could be intrinsic. So, of course, we're supposed to cultivate humility, and therefore we say Trinadapi Sunishina Turam. So, we're trying to cultivate that as, we can say, our eternal quality of the soul. Some people may try to cultivate humility for material reasons. So then that's something quite different. We can say that's a sattvic quality, whereas what we're aiming for is spiritual quality. So that's quite different.
And you mentioned that Haridas Thakur getting initiation. Haridas Thakur getting initiation?
I don't think so. As far as I know, no.
Andhra Sri Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.
Tanto chido, ¿no?